Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. On our program, Gene Moore speaks with recording artist turned chef Isaac Hayes. Dr. Moore produces her University Forum program at WRTI Temple Public Radio in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
After a whole series of advanced warm-up performers that night, I finally saw the great man, draped in chains, and I heard him sing in that deep basso profundo voice, "I stand accused."
I stand accused of loving you too much.
And I have stood accused of being mesmerized by Isaac Hayes and his rendition of that song until this very day. I always wanted to meet him, and I finally got my opportunity for just a few minutes with the big man. And he is a big man when he brought his new book to the Clef Club in South Philadelphia for a book signing. His book, Cooking with Heart and Soul. And when he says heart and soul, he means heart and soul. I don't have to tell you, I was actually starstruck, like one of those teenagers. And I'm on location now at the Clef Club with my guest, no other than the wonderful singer of I Stand Accused, Mr. Isaac Hayes.
Well, hello.
Well, I thank you so much for talking with me on this program.
All right.
And we're going to talk a little bit, I hope, about all of the many things that you're doing. I know you have a lot of the things to do today. You've got people. And actually, you came because you've just written a book, too.
Yeah, I've got a cookbook called Cooking with Heart and Soul. And it's a wonderful book. I mean, we have over 100 recipes. And we've got a lot of autobiographical anecdotes. And I dedicated the book to my grandmother. And I have recipes from a lot of my celebrity friends. And it's good reading. And with all the recipes, it's user-friendly. And the recipes range from Southern down-home cooking, that was my grandmother, mm-hmm. you see, to Louisiana cooking and a lot of soul food things. Plus, we've got alternative dishes and these dishes that are very, very healthy. The cookbook have a wide range. And I got some wonderful desserts. Got an array of desserts. Some healthy, and some just good.
Some decadent.
That's right.
Now, music has meant so much to you over the years. How mm-hmm. did you link this with your cooking? Is there any relationship between the two?
Well, music goes hard. It goes really hand in hand, you know, because it's all therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And when I get in the kitchen and cook, I've been cooking all my life, so it's just a therapeutic kind of thing. And I've put on some good music, and I can cook, and I can just get lost.
Where was home for you originally?
Originally, I was born in Covington, Tennessee, and that was 38 miles north of Memphis. At the age of 7, we moved to Memphis, and that's where I grew up.
And how did you start music?
Well, you know, I've been doing music all my life. My first public appearance was at the age of 4. On an Easter program with my sister and me, my grandmother accompanied us on the piano. Now, and then I did it for the fun of it all through grade school, all the way up. And I had to wait until I got into high school because I wanted to be a doctor. But I won this talent contest in high school. And all the accolades and all the girls saying, "Ooh, give me your autograph. Come have some lunch with us." I said, I think I want to do this. That's how I got started with music.
But you've done so many different things in music. I mean, of course, the reason I was so attracted to you was that song, I Stand Accused. I had a bunch of teenagers with me one time. You played Philadelphia, and that's what you sang.
Oh, yeah. That was a great tune. I loved it. Otis Redding and Jerry Butler. I think Jerry and Billy Butler wrote it, and Jerry did the original, you know, on I Stand Accused. And I just loved that tune all those years, and I decided to do it myself.
Well, since you love it so much, and I know you said you aren't going to sing anything for me, but could you do just two bars, just a little beginning of it?
Oh, listen now. Wait a minute. I don't even. Let me see. My voice is not in the singing mode, but I'm in talking. I stand accused of loving you too much. And I hope it's not a crime. Because if it is, I'm guilty. I can't help myself. I'm a victim of circumstance. And just one. Ooh, one touch of your hand. I don't know how it happened, but just look at me. I find myself trembling on the witness stand. And I'm shouting out all over the land. Everybody, I'm guilty of loving you. I'm guilty of loving you, yes. I said I'm guilty, but what can I do? Guilty. I wanna hold you. I wanna squeeze you tight.
That's all I needed to hear. It is a beautiful tune.
It is. Really.
And yet you're really multiple in terms of the many different dimensions, not only to your music, but to the things you've done in terms of theater and all of this. What is it that you like best?
I love doing movies. I love doing radio and voiceovers and all that kind of stuff. But I think the main thing is music. Mm-hmm. Music. I love writing and producing. That's what I love doing.
Now, in many past years, there wasn't very much access for African Americans in those parts of the music trade. Where do you think things are now?
Well, they're doing it all now, you know. They're writing, they're producing, they're arranging. I just hope that they include the business acumen. And all they're doing. I'm talking about the young people nowadays, you know. Because I made a lot of mistakes along the way. You know, I adjusted, but they were expensive mistakes.
What kinds of mistakes?
Trusting the wrong people. I was gullible. And because I was so trustworthy, I thought a lot of people were trustworthy. But that's not the case. So you have to discern a lot of things and check people out and have people check people out and have other people check them out just to cover your back, you know.
Is ownership and control very important in order to make some of these things work well?
It is key because that's your life's work. And I made a lot of mistakes with that. And I'm in battles now to regain control of a lot of those things. But, yeah, that's yours. That's your intellectual property. You should, you know, it should be passed on, and you should leave it to your offspring.
Now, I know that you've been very much an activist along with the things that you've done in the music field, which makes you a more deep person than perhaps some of us know on the outside. What is it that you are really committed to?
I'm committed to my work in Africa. That's my passion. I really got into that in 92, and it has grown so much now, and I'm really engaged. I engage in a lot of work in Ghana, West Africa, because they made me a king over there. And I started my foundation to target literacy, health, and music education for young kids who can ill afford instruments and things like that. And I built a school in Ghana, West Africa, in an area called Ada, A-D-A. It's about an hour and a half drive from the capital city going eastward. And it's a beautiful area, and I'm a development king over there in that whole area. And I'm just excited about the many things that we are engaging in now. I was just in Washington a few days ago. We're going to have the historical black colleges have some curriculum over there where they can go over there and study, you see.
I'm delighted to hear that. I've just spent some 6 years at the University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, before coming back to Temple University.
Okay.
And I know how committed they are there to working in different places.
Okay, we need to, because we need to let them go to Africa. A lot of our young people need to go to Africa and see their roots. And when you touch on those shores over there, something happens to you, you know. It's a healing process because we've been disconnected so long. It's time to go back and roll up your sleeves and get involved and help your people, our people over there, to develop. Because they've been on their knees a long time, and if it's left up to other people, they won't develop. It's our responsibility to do that, because they're our cousins now, aunts and everything removed.
I remember seeing someone that I thought looked just exactly like my cousin when I was there.
When you go there, you're going to see somebody look like Joe Woody right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always like that. It's always like that, because that's where we came from. And the rest of the world is watching us and see how we respond to their needs. And we have a responsibility to do that. It's such a healing thing for everybody when we start doing that. And we should do that.
Not only is he committed to Africa, but he has had a long relationship with the civil rights movement in the United States. He was supposed to have met Dr. King on the same day that Dr. King was shot.
When I got to the studio, everybody looking weird. I mean, what y'all looking so funny for? You haven't heard? Heard what? Dr. King just got shot.
What?
I marched with but I never met him personally, no. I was even at one of his speaking engagements a couple of years before then as a young child. I was supposed to have sung before him. But it was a lot of politics going on backstage at his church, and I got ousted. It was ironic, but that gave me the more reason to get deep into the struggle. And, you know, a few years ago, we had the march. We completed that march. We completed the march. The march was disrupted. But we completed the march, and we marched all the way down to the auditorium in Memphis. And I had my little say. A lot of people, Jesse Jackson, and what is it, Lee Brown, now the mayor of Houston. He was just got elected in Houston at the time. And a lot of leaders, the young Congressman Ford, a lot of people were there. I found my passion. Everybody has a passion. Some find it early in life, some find it later. I found mine later. And my passion is the development of Africa. I went to the slave dungeons in Ghana, West Africa, and I heard the voices of my ancestors saying, we're finally home through you. The circle is complete. Now you know what to do. And I haven't been the same since. I had a whole sense of awareness, a whole sense of dedication and purpose, because that is the land of my ancestry. And Africa is hurting. It's still on its knees. It's got all that land and all the people, and still undeveloped. Okay. So I decided to roll up my sleeve and do something. Okay. So I built a school in Ghana. Okay. And by the way, they made me a king. And so I built this school. It opened last year, last August, and we are excited. A lot of things are springing up around that. But it's not a grade thing. We're teaching. We got a study technology that we are dispersing in the villages and things to, and in my school, to whoever want to come in and get, become literate. Even the chiefs are taking courses. We have a computer technology that we're teaching over there, as well as an internet access. And we have AIDS awareness. And a lot of it came through my foundation, Isaac Hayes Foundation, and we focus on literacy, health, and music education for kids and things like that. It's all over in America. But we targeted Africa because I was initially the spokesperson for the World Literacy Crusade. And we put a chapter of the World Literacy Crusade in my school. And so all kind of things are coming from that, because I kept my word and I did what I said.
I was deeply touched by the multidimensional aspects of this man, whose consistent reverence for his grandmother, who died at age 105, was so clear. She had raised him after his mother died when he was only 1 1/2 years old. She was his date when he received the Academy Award. And as he says in his book, she was the lady who got me there, the one who kept me always grateful, always humble. She was my guiding light.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, and walk on by, walk on by, make believe each time I see you, I just can't help myself. I think about how tight we used to be. I break down and cry. Oh, baby, walk on by. So please walk on. Make believe you never see the tears I cry. So do me a favor and walk on by. So I'm begging you to walk on by. Oh yeah. Make believe you never see.
Isaac Hayes had been born in deep poverty, and he had risen to the highest stratosphere of life. So I now wanted him to take me back to how he made it in the difficult world of music. So I asked him.
Well, as you think back when you started with music and the talent shows and all of that, what was your next big leap into the music world?
Well, my next big leap was to get into when I first started out, you know, playing in clubs and juke joints and things like that, to get into a recording studio And I finally made it at Stax Records after being turned down about four different times. And that was my big thing. And I met David Porter. We started writing songs and things like that. And it just went from one thing to another.
And then soundtracks and all for some of them?
Yeah, well, after that recording, like Hot Butter Soul and To Be Continued and The Movement, and then later it came the soundtracks and the movie scores and all that.
Oh, and One Can't Forget Cher.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks?
You're damn right.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? Can you dig it?
You're right. That won a lot of awards. And I have one distinction that nobody can take away. I was the first African-American male to win an Oscar doing music.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is. That's when you think about it. I've been so busy, I don't have time. But when you stop and think about it, it's quite an accomplishment.
Now, it's kind of a healing thing to be with music, though, and with cooking.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is, and it's wonderful.
The book is called?
Cooking with Heart and Soul.
And when you say heart and soul, you put all of that into it?
You put it all into it. You remember the old folks, you said, I put my foot in it. in cooking with heart and soul, that's what I put into my cooking. And my friends love it, so they encourage me to do a cookbook. I find it.
Do you have a favorite recipe?
Well, I got a couple of recipes that I love. One is corn dish, fried corn. My grandmother used to do it on a Sunday morning, and fried corn with bacon chips in there. It was so good, cream corn. And another dish is it's Salisbury, chopped steak, smothered in onions and gravy. But in my cookbook, it's because I do the chef voice on South Park, I said, smothered onions in love, baby.
Love.
Yeah.
Do you have any feeling about the cooking that relates back to Africa?
Well, I love African cooking, but I haven't gotten it down to where I want to get it down to attempt to prepare somebody some dishes, but I'll get it together, though. And I might do a cookbook, who knows?
Well, I want to thank you so much for giving me these few moments on University Forum, and I hope that I get a chance to see you and talk with you again.
Thank you very much, and I really enjoyed it.
This is Jean Moore, leaving you with a quote from Isaac Hayes' book that represents the essence of this interesting man. The scientists say that the universe is constantly expanding. That notion appeals to me. We all have to continue to expand, always moving in new directions. If we don't, we'll regress and shrink, and our minds and bodies will atrophy. I believe that you can always do something more. You can always learn something new. You can always share something. You can always teach something to someone else. A zest for life and a thirst for knowledge are what keep you young.
Special thanks to my colleague, Dr. Jean Moore, host of University Forum at WRTI Temple Public Radio in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks?
You damn right.
He knew he was a man that would risk his neck for his brother, man.
Can you dig it?
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
It's all